The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fernelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage, from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Bud Elliott. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/cover3 and everywhere you get your podcasts on demand. Thanks for hanging out. Smash that subscribe, smash that like, and come and join us in the chat, aka the Cover 3 tailgate, which is alive and popping. There is much smack being talked, as you would expect on a national signing day, complete with a few flips, some risers, some fallers in the rankings, and a lot to be able to get into. Bud, you look fantastic. You've been doing fantastic. Wall-to-wall coverage from 24/7 Sports home office in Nashville. We had multiple studios. We had a lot of commitments, a lot of coaches drop in. It was a big day. And so as I throw to you, looking handsome and well-lit, when you look at, because I want to get to the individual schools and I want to get to the individual players here in a second. But if there's a big, broad picture, like among the signees of the days, or maybe the body that we have, like looking across all the five stars, for example, what's the sort of the big story to you in terms of the national scene on National Signing Day?
Chip, I think it really is like how many different schools signed an elite level player, right? We have 19 schools who signed a five-star. It doesn't even include like a Michigan, a Notre Dame, or USC. So to me, it's the disbursement of the talent in the NIL era, right? If you have NIL, you can get together and put a pretty nice class together. If you have some NIL, you can get together and get one really good player, like we've seen some schools do. And it just seems like this is more spreading out of the talent. No, nobody signed 7 5-stars today, right? Like there's no class that looks like that Texas A&M class from 2 years ago, although that class hasn't really worked out too well. There's right. No class that looks like some of those early Bama classes where it's like, okay, so they got like 10 of the top 30 guys in the country or 10 of the top 50. Like that's not really happening this year. There are a lot of really good classes, but it does feel like it's a deeper year where your team probably did better than it would have done a few years ago.
How many schools do you think are in that? Like if we're no longer in this world where Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State are locking down, you know, combined, let's say 15 of the top 30. That's aggressive, but you understand where I'm going for here.
Sure.
Like how many schools are playing in that big pool where you are saying, okay, we've got parity, we've got resources, we've got NIL. How big is that group? Is it similar to the 18 schools that you talk about that are competing to be a national champion? It's 18, right? That's your sort of magic number?
18 was always the number I was pretty comfortable using. I think 18 is is probably about right. I mean, USC is sitting 18th right now in the 24/7 sports composite. Like that's probably about where I would cut it off as far as like the schools that are recruiting, you know, at a national championship or close level. But you have some schools that are doing enough on the recruiting trail and they're trying to really supplement and go all in the portal. You know, Missouri, I think, would be one to take a look at. I know we'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show, but yeah, it does feel like a lot of schools landed a big time player or two this year. And I think the talent is spreading out. And if you're a college football fan, you may not love NIL. You may not like how guys leave your program to get more NIL elsewhere, but Chip, I do think it's spread out the talent more.
Yeah. How many, in talking to coaches and personnel directors, could you get a sense coming into National Signing Day that there was a reaction in terms of what was available in the portal and how hard you were going to go at the final minute? Like, you know, we had all the way until a bunch of visits this past weekend, obviously a short little dead period after that. But you know, is there any calculus that has happened in the last, you know, 20 days where the portal and recruiting all of a sudden changed your scholarship math in a way that was significant for any big programs?
I think so, because I don't think that the depth of the portal this year in terms of quality is quite what it was 2 years ago and probably not what it was last year. So there is some chance that we have reached peak portal, and that puts a greater emphasis on recruiting the elite high school players. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, especially if the elite ones that might have a chance to be able to step in. All right, so when we're talking about some of the way that these classes stack up against each other, it's been always very interesting to now say we are going to put Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. These are your peers. You start playing them next year, so this is where we're going to rank you. Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. We're now going to put you in the Big Ten. Maybe we'll get to it in a little bit. UCLA has a number 17 beside it in terms of where it stacks up in its conference rankings. But, you know, we can get to that in a little bit. But those two conferences, 14 of the top 20 classes. But the one at the top, I mean, you know, we talk about parity and things being spread around. I'm looking at Georgia 1. I'm looking at Alabama 2. It's Georgia's first number one class since 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe so. So what do you see? Let's go specifically on Kirby Smart's crew there, because, you know, they land the big flip of KJ Bolden from Florida State, you know, to the Dogs. What else about this class was really big? They lose Dylan Raiola and still hold the number one class. What do you see in this group for the Bulldogs?
So Kirby Smart really just kind of hoarded all the good offensive linemen. He's like, I'm taking all these. The best ones will start, you know, the ones who don't start will probably transfer out. That's the main thing that stands out to me is just the beef along the line of scrimmage for Georgia's class. Like I think Kirby Smart, he's very smart, pun intended here, to know that you can't really get very many elite big men in the transfer portal. And so he's going all after Chip, like all these big guys out of high school to see, you know, who will pan out. And that's the main thing that stands out to me. At quarterback, Georgia has Ryan Puglisi. They really like him a lot. In fact, I'm not going to say they won't miss Dylan Raiola because I think that's kind of crazy, but there is a real chance that Puglisi turns out to be pretty good for them, and I think they're pretty happy to have him. And then in the defensive secondary, as you mentioned, flipping KJ Bolden from Florida State, number one safety in the country, was huge. And I think getting Ellis Robinson, who's one of the best corners I've ever seen, to come in, I think he'll play early for them as well. So Georgia hanging on for another just elite class.
What about I did not know, I've looked. Help me. Help, bud, come on and help me. Help me. Help Tom. Help Danny. Help the audience. Help all of us. So it seems like Alabama, you know, the superstar of the class was on from the beginning. We've been talking about Julian saying even on the Cover 3 podcast for a long time. But it was like enough work was done elsewhere. What went into the jump from number four to number two? Like, who were some of the key prospects and the battles that Alabama was able to win? Maybe not at the very top of their board, but in a way that made that math out for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, so Chip, you mentioned it. First of all, they needed a couple teams ahead of them to falter a little bit, right? You know, Florida did, Ohio State did a little bit, and then they needed to be able to pull off some flips. Not a whole lot of flips of, like, top 100 kids, But Bama did a great job today in that sort of like 100 to 300 range. They capitalized on some weakness, you know, guys, you know, Florida, Miami, a couple other SEC schools. They got a really nice running back from Miami to flip. So I think that's really where Alabama did most of their damage. They added to the quality depth of the class. We know the headliners in the class. You have a great pair of corners, and then you have obviously quarterback Julian Sayin, who we think is one of the most polished quarterbacks in a while. And if you're Alabama, I think you need him, because I really didn't love the quarterbacks that Bama took the last cycle. So I think like Sayin come in there and play pretty early, man.
Yeah. So Ryan Williams had already been factored in. Ryan Williams was part of the 25 cycle, reclassifies to the 24 cycle. He was the number one wide receiver in that cycle. He's number three wide receiver in this cycle. He'd already been factored in to get them to four, right?
Right.
So this was all the other stuff that moved them up to number two. Again,
and Williams, has he signed yet, or is he still verbally? Because Auburn would like a word there for sure.
Auburn doesn't need any more elite wide receivers. That's ridiculous. Well, that would be how many blue chip wide receivers would that be? Seriously, I don't have it off the top of my head. Four, five?
Maybe four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have to spend on a transfer portal quarterback, you're going to have some money to throw around. So,
hey, what did you think about Hugh Freeze saying he got pushed out of his comfort zone late last night trying to hold on to kids? Have you seen this press conference yet?
No, but I saw the quote.
Okay.
Good.
He looked exhausted. He looked like some assistant told him that he was going to have to play Fortnite with the kid until like 2 a.m. to be able to keep him. And he was like, we've got a special Christmas surprise coming up for the Cover 3 podcast. In it was a clip from our own Bud Elliott saying, I'm a grown man. I go outside when I'm done with my work. I don't play video games. Hugh Freeze was looking like he and you believed the same thing, and that he had just had to stay up till 2 a.m. playing Fortnite just to keep a kid. When he said, I got pushed out of my comfort zone, I understand how it reads, given it's Hugh Freeze and all. But what I saw from watching the press conference video clip is that he had just had to do some kid stuff, and he was not happy that he had to do it.
I mean, look, Hugh Freeze, I love any quotes that lack self-awareness from Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
Always. That's amazing.
Okay, so you mentioned Florida. So we hang on to DJ Lagway, right? Like, amidst all the chaos, hang on to McCray, right?
Yeah. Held on to McCray, yep.
Held on to McCray, but lost a lot else. Like, where are we putting the pieces back together for Billy Napier?
I think there is... there is some sort of like, if you want to shoot the gap here, right, and see if you can just hit the straight, there is some chance that Florida really hits on their transfer class, right, that maybe LJ McCray is able to play some as a freshman to help spark Billy Napier's 2025 recruiting class. Hey, look, you got LJ McCray coming. You know, he's going to be the starter more in 25 and 26. Probably that's their like really special talent quarterback that they have here in this class. They have Graham Mertz coming back. Maybe they have a nice season, right? And the transfer class is good enough to propel that nice season, and thus they don't have to fire Billy Napier. On the other hand, like, I know a lot of schools who continued to recruit LJ McCray up until signing day who did not believe they had a real shot to land LJ McCray. And they're like, we're going to do it because we know there's a pretty good chance Billy Napier gets fired next year, maybe midseason.
Oh, you're putting in the early work.
Correct. Yeah. They're putting in that pre-work. We used to say in recruiting there was no prize for second place. Now times like there are actually are prizes for second place.
So. What can Florida's class still be excited about?
I mean, I think it's the fact that you landed two of the top 10 players in the country. Yeah. And like Lagway is just a freak of freaks. The production this year finally matched the tools. They really didn't match it in 2022, but in 2023 on the field as a senior, he improved a whole lot. He was better on the field on Friday nights than he was at the Elite 11, and the guy's just a ridiculous athlete. And the same for McCray, right? Like McCray was always a guy we were enamored with at camps, but ultimately not a guy who had crazy production throughout his high school career. And he kind of had that baby deer thing. It's like, that's a lot of body to coordinate. It's going to take a little bit of time to get going, man. And this year, it got going. So he started getting a lot of sacks, started being a total game wrecker. I think for Florida, it's those top two guys. Like Billy Napier's staff, I think it's a really good recruiting staff. It's a really good scouting staff. It's just you know, the way they lost games this year, I think inspired a lot of doubt among recruits. And I think it made them easy to recruit against in the negative fashion, which we see a lot throughout the country. But if you're messing up, the SEC will negatively recruit you pretty quick.
What about the new boys in the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma? What stands out about those classes?
So for Texas, they continue to load up on the lines of scrimmage. So Brandon Baker, we talked about him on Cover 3, I think 4 or 5 months ago when they actually landed his commitment over the summer. Just an elite level offensive tackle, one of the true offensive tackles in the country, and not many out there this year. This was not a great year for that offensive tackle position. So Baker coming in, I think we'll be able to help them at least by year two. Maybe he'll be able to play some as a freshman. And then receiver Ryan Wingo. They held off a late charge by Missouri and Nebraska, a guy who's from Missouri. Missouri obviously has really favorable NIL laws for the home state Tigers, and Texas was able to outlast them. Chip, Wingo's a guy, like if they lose Xavier Worthy to the draft, which I think he's draft eligible, he almost has to be now at this point, I would expect Ryan Wingo to be able to step in and play immediately. And that's a guy, I look at his skill set, I'm like, okay, he's got the long speed, he's got enough size. He really has running back style skills after the catch. I'm like, you don't think Sark's going to find a way to get the ball in this guy's hands 3-4 times a game, even as a true freshman, to see what he can do? So I'm really excited to see what Ryan Wingo does for Texas. They did an excellent job. For Oklahoma, they're not quite as good of a job as Texas. Still a really nice class, though, that they put together. I think where they really helped out was they got some difference makers on the lines of scrimmage, especially that defensive line. We talked about it this year. We didn't see the difference makers for Oklahoma up front. There's a kid named David Stone. He's from Oklahoma. He played his high school ball at IMG Academy. That's a guy who I think could play early for them because he is polished. Heavy hands, violent kid, good size. I think he'll be a very productive college player for Oklahoma. So I think if you're a Sooners fan, or especially a Texas fan, you have to be really excited about what you're bringing to that new league.
Xavier Worthy, draft eligible. So okay. There you go. Locked and loaded.
Boom.
Coming up on the other side, we turn our attention from the SEC to the Big Ten and so much more as we recap National Signing Day next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast, and my oh my, was there a lot of tension when Jeremiah Smith was stepping to the table, the number one wide receiver, the number one player in the 24/7 sports rankings. First wide receiver to be number one since, do you have it? I've got it.
I don't.
Dorial Green Beckham.
That's right. Okay. There you go.
First wide receiver to be the number one overall player since Dorial Green Beckham. He steps to the table. And Bud, he wasted none of our time. He picked up the mic. He got right into it. He announced that he would be signing with the school that he has been committed to for a long time. But the Hollywood, Florida product, you know, he had Florida State sniffing around. He had Miami sniffing around. This is not a Inside the Smoke podcast shout out, but there was smoke, you know, late that maybe Jeremiah Smith would end up committing to the U. He ends up committing to the Buckeyes. And Josh, if we've got that Ryan Day presser, let's bring that up as well.
Really?
Yes,
really.
It's real.
Yeah. There's pictures, there's video.
I'm nervous for you.
Yeah, if you want to take us to your emotions real quick, how you feeling? The floor is yours.
You got to address that one.
Yeah, well, I don't know if everything's in yet. Jerry, you got to check to make sure it's in. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you want to check with Justin?
Yeah, before I do something and get myself in trouble.
Ohio State lost some guys today, but they held on to the big dog, the five-star wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith. Cover three tailgate. Has it been, is the paperwork in?
No, not yet. At least I haven't seen it as in. This is what I was Googling as well since we've been on the air. I think this could be like an ongoing thing, I guess we could say.
Oh, man.
Remember Peyton Bowen? Now, look, do I think he goes to Ohio State? Yeah, I do. I think they get this done. Jeremiah Smith is a really freaky player. I mean, obviously the number one player in the country to be a receiver, that's a pretty rare thing, as Chip noted. 6'3", 205, really nice long speed, like elite level hurdler at that size. Also throttles down really well to create separation. The hands are pretty nuts. I think he has a good feel for how to play the game. I think he'll play immediately at Ohio State, or I guess because we're on a podcast and people listen to this tomorrow, wherever he goes. Ohio State had to step up with some of their – I think they had to step up their NIL efforts, to be honest, for a couple of these kids. And they did lose some down the stretch. And I think if they hadn't landed Jeremiah Smith, if they hadn't kept Edric Houston there, the defensive lineman who Bama was trying to flip late, then I think they'd be like real kind of, you know, teeth gnashing for Ryan Day. But at this point, if it's not in, like that's not a good sign for Ohio State. But I'm also not sure if Miami can pull that off. Maybe they can. I know there was a Rivals report that he was sending it in, quote unquote, now, but that was probably like an hour ago. So we'll see if that got in. I don't know why.
I love the internet report that says, I've seen cell phone video of him signing it. Like somebody has said that he has signed it. We'll see.
Next.
We'll see. All right. So what about the rest of Ohio State's class? I mean, still a good class. They dropped. They lost a couple battles, but they held on to the two big dogs. What do you see from Ryan Day?
I see Ohio State continuing to recruit at a really high level. Like, does it stink that they didn't hold on to everybody? Yes, but Houston's a guy who could make a real difference for them, I think, on the line of scrimmage. Like, that's a big-time defensive lineman. Bama came late. A couple more schools came late. The fact they're able to hold on to him is really, really pretty big. They did lose Jeremiah McClellan to Oregon. Oregon had a really nice day. We'll talk about them in a second or maybe even next. But no, overall, this is a nice class for Ohio State, Chip. Like, and I think Ohio State fans should be really excited. Like, if you're consistently recruiting at that sort of top five level, right? And what are they now? They got to be top four, top five, four. You know, if you're consistently around that level, you're that team, I think, is going to be expected to compete for a playoff spot every single year, right? And probably to win a playoff game every year, like sort of that level. So, if you're Ohio State, I think you got to be really excited where you are. So status quo, but this is one to watch. I mean, if you lose Jeremiah Smith, that's not going to be received really well after how you lost the Michigan game.
Would it only be Miami?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, mama JoJo. Okay. Speaking of the Ducks, the thing that is really interesting to consider from the Dan Lanning perspective, you know, dogged recruiter, you know, as an assistant, shows up to Oregon, immediately starts doing work in the portal, on the recruiting trail, out of high school as well. He's got resources behind him. And I get the sense that they know what we have said, which is that when Oregon lands in the Big Ten, it is landing in one of the most influential conferences in college football, the kind of place where if you're competing for Big Ten championships and you're running with Ohio State and Michigan, we're going to talk about like one of the best programs in the country. And look, like I loved covering the Pac-12 as it existed. But Oregon running the Pac-12 is not going to have the same impact nationally as running the Big Ten. And the Ducks are loaded up to hit the ground running and be running head-to-head with Ohio State and Michigan. What'd you make of their recruiting class? Where do you see Dan Lanning turning his efforts as he is in a big-time spot right now with Oregon heading into 2024?
I thought they crushed it, man. I mean, I think they're probably the Big Ten team that has to be happiest with their results, I think, relative to expectations. They're going into a new league, and they're like, you know what? We can be more talented in Ohio or than Michigan. We can be more talented probably than Penn State coming up with the quickness. Big-time defensive lineman in Aiden Breland. Like, this is a guy with violent hands. I think you're going to enjoy watching him play. Explosive player. He's got like a lean – like, he's big, but he's not – sloppy. He's a guy who can make a real impact for them. I like Elijah Rushing as well. Large-bodied edge rusher. And then at receiver, they went and got Ryan Pelham and flipped him from USC. Mm-hmm. They got McClellan from Ohio State. Like, receiver was an area of need in this class. And then not that we're talking a whole lot of portal, Dave, but like, let's look a little bit of portal here. They get Dylan Gabriel for this year.
And Dante Moore.
Dante Moore. Yeah, man. So, look, Dan Lanning has a staff of like elite dogs on the recruiting trail. And he also has probably like the best NIL support in the country. So if you put those two things together, you're going to do pretty well.
You'd put Oregon on par with the big dogs?
Yes, no doubt.
Like standing tee time at an exclusive golf club?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I do you remember the Detroit Tigers? When their owner was like in his 90s and he really wanted to win before he passed.
Oh,
and just that's like Phil. They just kept signing. Yeah, exactly. Like they signed Verlander and they signed this guy and let's go get Cabrera and all these dudes. And yeah, that's kind of how I view Oregon right now. I think they're in it to win it like every single year.
Wow. 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 What about some of the other newcomers? USC, I mentioned UCLA, 17th among the 18 Big Ten schools for 2024. Not good. Washington, you know, what stands out among the other Big Ten newcomers?
So Washington, I just don't think has the same level of recruiter on staff that Oregon does. And they obviously don't have the same level of NIL support, but that's still a fine class for them. UCLA is a class that I think really prefers to operate out of the portal now for the most part. But also, I mean, think about it. You got a staff there that for the last couple of months, you had reports saying was going to get fired. So it's a little hard to recruit that. They do have 3-4 stars in the class, 8-3 stars overall. So it's not dead last, but they're going to have to do a really nice job in the transfer portal. I'll point to two head coaches in the league who I think are probably sitting pretty tonight. Okay. Nebraska getting Riola is really big for them. Like that's a major win that Matt Rhule can sell on the recruiting trail, especially if he plays early next year and actually looks good, which, I mean, that's a hard ask, okay? Nebraska doesn't have a super hard schedule, not a cakewalk.
Nebraska has such a good offensive line, we gave the offensive line coach a raise, okay? Remember,
that is true.
The offensive line was so good, we had to award the offensive line coach, whose last name is Riola and is the uncle of Dylan Riola. We had to award him for the wonderful play of that offensive line coach.
I think that's a very fair one. Also, Wisconsin is a sneaky good class, Chip. Like we have 9-4 stars for them. I know it's going to get overshadowed by some of the new guys coming into the league, but you got to be pretty happy with this. I think if you're Wisconsin, this is a lot better than they were doing under Paul Christ. We know that Luke Fickell knows how to recruit, knows how to ID talent. That's a pretty nice one to see.
That's one where I go back to the fact that Cincinnati's recruiting was as good as Cincinnati's recruiting had ever been when Fickell got it humming. So I apply the expectation of being a good recruiter on Luke Fickell. So if I'm a Wisconsin fan, like I'm very happy, but I'm also happy because that's what we were sold when we were sold the idea of Luke Fickell finally getting his hands on a power conference program.
You know who's probably not happy with results relative to what they were sold?
What?
USC.
Oh, buddy. Not a good day for the Trojans.
Yeah, I don't go get Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma to give me a class ranked 20th and 5th in the Big Ten. Like, you take the USC job because you can recruit at a super elite level. That's not happening right now. I like Jason Zandamella, the center. They have a ton. Like, it's one of the better center prospects I've seen in a while. And they do have some good players in this class. But, man, like, this is the third full class that Riley signed now? That's, I mean, really? This is what we're left with? I don't know. Maybe they'll do a better job in the portal than I think and have a better season to sell this upcoming year. Maybe all the defensive staff changes really will make – I actually think they probably will make a difference, to be honest.
They have to.
But, I mean, this is a – when we look in 2 to 3 years, will we say, like, hey, this class is the reason USC is not taking, like, another step? If they get things righted, but they're not ready to jump into, like, the natty conversation. Like, well, 23 class really wasn't great, man. Or 24 class really wasn't great.
It sounds like the same thing you said about UCLA, just with different expectations. They've become a portal team. Yeah. You know, and roll the dice with that as you will. Might work out, but fascinating to see. Coming up on the other side, we have mentioned Florida State, Miami, a lot. But we haven't really dug into those classes. So the big storylines coming out of the Air Plus, Notre Dame, Colorado, and so much more next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you going to be on tomorrow, or are you traveling?
I am on tomorrow.
Okay. Well, then maybe we'll
see. I wasn't sure, like, if it was a playoff show or not, so I booked a flight a little bit later.
Andrew from the Cover 3 tailgate. I'm interested in Troy boy Bud Elliott's opinion on Gerard Parker getting the head job at Troy. On paper, Parker's Notre Dame offense looked impressive, but upon review, the damage was done against bad teams. It kind of broke during Monday's show, right? Right near the end. Thoughts on Gerard Parker to Troy?
I'm kind of TBD there. Mm-hmm. He did play for Kentucky, which has been a common thread amongst most of the recent Troy coaches, but I...
Neil Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Summerall and now him. I don't know. I'm very TBD on the hire. And look, honestly, we should be, as Fornelli tells us, like, we should be TBD on pretty much all the hires all the time, because who the hell knows how they're going to work out. But yeah, man, that's just... I don't know what to say about that. I was not real impressed with Notre Dame's offense, but... maybe he'll be a dogged recruiter for them and really kill it.
Yeah, I think Troy's a high variance job. I think John Summerall might probably maxed it out, and he's shown what you can accomplish, but that's not a promise or a guarantee by any means, especially in a league as competitive as the Sun Belt.
Like, there are some G5 jobs that I feel like are very sticky as far as their results. You know, like you're just going to you're going to go there and lose no matter what, because it's a dead end job. I don't know if there are any G5 jobs right now I can think of that are just like they're turnkey. You go there, everybody who's there wins. Like, maybe I'm missing one now, but All right, what do you got?
James Madison. We'll see. I mean, TBD in terms of at the FBS level, but like they were a championship. They cared about being really good at football before Kurt Cignetti, with Kurt Cignetti. And I think with Bob Chesney, they will continue to be doing that.
It used to be Boise.
Yeah, a 100%.
And now, you know, not so much.
Okay, sorry. Little sidetrack there. Somebody grabbed it. All right, so in the Cover 3 tailgate, which is why I thought about it, the early conversation before we got started was wasn't positively charged. You know, it's the holiday season. Trying to give out gifts here. It was a lot of people trying to look in and bag on the Seminoles. So let's.
Oh no.
Well, it was a disappointing sight. Look, it was a disappointing signing day for Florida State, right?
No doubt. The overall class is a class they're happy with, but
right. Yeah. Take us inside the day, and it's important to, I guess, start off with that the class is still one of the highest ranked Florida State classes that we've seen in a long time, and that for Mike Norvell. If we were like, okay, you can't do the portal forever. You're going to have to up your game on the high school recruiting. He has done that. So like in one conversation, check, 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 check. But it's just in the moment of this day, given some of those high profile players that were in the spotlight, I do think it does come off a little disappointing.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, so you lose Blunt to Miami, right? Which everybody knew was going to happen because he chose to visit Miami instead of FSU, despite being committed to FSU there on that final weekend. It's like, all right, if you're not going to come to Tallahassee
follow the business, final weekend, baby. Follow the exactly. business.
So, like, FSU didn't wait for that. They had their press conference before. That's still a guy you want to get. I've not been very impressed with FSU's front seven recruiting under Mike Norvell. Like, that's a spot where I feel like it'll continue to bite them in the butt if they don't just pull miracles out of the hat in the transfer portal, which, to their credit, like, they seem to have done – just about every single year. With KJ Bolden, that was a kid they got the commitment from a couple of months ago. Nobody really thought they were. And so I think they really thought, well, we can hold on to him because there's a lot of smoke he's going to flip to Auburn. Didn't. Some very late smoke he flipped to Georgia. But the vibes were very similar then, to what they were when he committed, right? It was like, okay, he's not going to go to Florida State. He's going to go to Georgia back then. And those were kind of the same vibes at the end of the day. He does end up flipping, to UGA. UGA missed on Caleb Downs last year, who went to, Alabama. And they weren't able to get Jeremiah Smith. Assuming he goes to Ohio State, it's kind of hard to blame a kid for going to Ohio State to play receiver. I will say the saving grace there is that they have a really nice receiver in DB class. So the fact that your two biggest losses were there doesn't hurt you as much as it otherwise could have been. Because like you still signed like four of the best DBs in the country and you still have a really nice receiver class. I just think, look, it's been a couple of years now for Norvell and he's done a tremendous job winning ballgames. But I think he needs to evaluate whether his staff is an elite recruiting staff. Mm. For my money, it's not. Like you look down at Coral Gables, that's a staff that works really hard at recruiting. I'm not saying FSU staff is lazy. I don't think they are. But I do think Mario demands more of his staff. And I think he has much more dynamic personalities on his staff than FSU staff does. Cool. FSU also doesn't blow games in the fashion Miami does. So there's kind of an equilibrium.
So what do you want? Do you want to win on National Signing Day or do you want to win on Saturdays? Like this is the Miami-Florida State rivalry right now.
But I think if the ultimate goal is a natty, we know there's only one way to do that. You just grab as many freaks as you possibly can. Okay? And it's clear Miami's class is better than FSU's class.
Yeah, so you grab as many Norvell freaks will have as you soul can. Searching to do. Yeah, you grab as many freaks as you can so that if you're Nick Saban at Alabama and Georgia runs it down your throat on the first possession of the SEC championship game, you can just say, shit, we'll play cover two the rest of the way and just let players be players and win the SEC that way. I mean, just throw the game plan out the window. Everything that we had thought of, let's go play football. We think we got the best team in the country. Let's go win it. And that's what recruiting can get you at that level. What about Miami?
I mean, I think it's an elite level class, especially along the defensive front. They did a hell of a job at receiver. I think Jojo Trader is a really nice player. If they get Jeremiah Smith, they're going to be number two? Maybe they're sitting number three right now. like Mario Cristobal was brought into Miami to recruit. They have crazy good NIL right now, and we'll see how they can balance and mesh all these personalities that they're bringing in. But I mean, eventually the talent is just going to start overwhelming people, right? The amount of players they have. Now, quarterback, they have to get right. I don't know if they really got it right in this class. We'll see. Miami seems to think that the kid they got, Judd, is a little bit better than a lot of the ratings think. But again, you know, we'll see there. But along the defensive front seven, they really killed it, man. And so I'm extremely impressed with what Miami did in recruiting this year.
Notre Dame, it was interesting because CJ Carr, I think, is already with the team right now. I saw some Notre Dame beat writers got some availability, I think, recently in preparation for the Sun Bowl. And everybody's already talking about how good it looks when CJ Carr throws a ball. And he's already out there zipping it. And boy, they've missed that. They got some of it with Sam Hartman. But what do you think about the Irish's class?
Look, so a couple things. One, CJ Carr, I'm glad that he's looking like in practice what we saw at him. We liked him a lot. The guy's got big-time tools. If he hits, he's going to be a superstar because the physical tools really are there. I like what Notre Dame did today. Eight players in the top 247 is a nice haul for Notre Dame. Is it what we were promised when Marcus Freeman got elevated? Is it clearly better than what Brian Kelly was doing? I would say at this point, no. But it's not
Brian Kelly had Brian Kelly popped with a couple of Notre Dame classes.
Yeah.
The floor was fairly high, but not super impressive. But this he did pop with a couple of classes. This was not a Notre Dame pop, right?
Correct. I would agree with that overall. Like it's a good class. It's not a class that has a ton of difference makers, but it is still a class I think Notre Dame fans should be pretty happy with. It's just I go back 2 years ago, the sell was Marcus Freeman's going to take and Notre Dame's going to be a top five recruiting team. You know, and I'm like, so far, we haven't seen that.
Fair. What about, let's see, since I got it all. So the man went to the recruiting trail and asked,
"Do you believe?"
And who answered yes? And who answered,
"Oh no, come on."
So how does Colorado look?
Give me a second while I scroll. I need to hit load more.
Damn, that's cold blooded, my friend.
Load more. Okay. All right.
No, but look, there's no Big 12 team in the top 20. Now the Texas.
Okay, that's fair.
Like now that Texas and Oklahoma are gone, if Colorado is going to be stacked up against other Big 12 teams, this is National Signing Day. And Big 12, without Texas and Oklahoma, doesn't have a lot of truly dominant recruiters. And so, if Colorado has to be outside of the top 50 in the rankings, I bet they are still not that far behind in total score away from probably the median of the Big 12.
Look, here's the deal. I don't want to bag on Colorado for this, okay? I think that you have to read intent into what they're doing. They have six commitments right now. Six. Five signees, and then Jordan Seaton, who's the number one offensive tackle in the country, who's a verbal commit. Our Jeff Ehrman of Inside Maryland Sports put in a crystal ball for him to flip to Maryland tonight. As of this taping, we have not seen that flip happen yet, but he also has not signed with Colorado, unless the tailgate can update us here, but I'm pretty sure that one is still up in the air. Their best offensive line transfer commit flipped to Oregon 2 days ago, and their number one JUCO offensive tackle commit also decommitted. I don't want to bag on Colorado because on a per-player basis, you're exactly right. They have one of the highest average scores in the Big 12. However, I do think it begs the question, like, do you really think you can do the transfer portal thing this heavily every single cycle? And if not, and you're a Colorado fan, you need to ask yourself, like, what's Deion? Is Deion going to be here in 2025? Because this is a weird approach. Like, we got to admit.
Well, no.
Five or six high school kids for, like.
But two.
It's striking.
You get two portal-heavy teams, and unless they are all getting their degrees, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
So, there is the aspect that you got like 50 portal additions last year. And then let's say you go back with another 20-person class this year. Like, at some point, you're going to create some stability to allow you to turn more of your efforts towards focusing on players that might be, you know, 2 years away from making a difference, as opposed to just trying to fill a depth chart with capable 20-year-olds who are physically ready to go play Big 12 football.
I would think so, but you usually want to make some noise with your first full class. And for Deion, obviously, I understand, like, the goal is Shador, 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 right? And winning as well, but Shador. So surrounding him with as much win-now talent, it still makes sense. But this number, I'm just telling you, as a guy who's covered recruiting for a long time, this number of high school commits would concern me if I was a Colorado fan, like, and asking, like, is Deion going to be here past next year? Mm. Spidey sense up.
What about, all right, so let's say this big, wide-ranging stuff. Any other teams or players that stand out to you?
Texas Tech actually got a kid who I think we need to talk about. Have you seen Micah Hudson?
I am aware of Micah Hudson, yes.
Yeah, freak of a receiver. I'm really excited to see. Like, he'll probably catch a million balls in that offense. They have the number one class in the Big 12 right now. To your point of, like, no top 20 classes for the Big 12, is that league going to get talked about as a power league for playoff purposes? I think so, because it's so depth with, or it's so deep with teams in that sort of, you know, 20 to 45 range. There's not a lot of real bad teams in that conference, but, like, there's nobody in that conference recruiting anything close to a national title level. So eventually it kind of makes me wonder, like, at least the ACC has three that are, and they're affiliated with the Irish.
Florida State, Clemson, Miami.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's where it gets back to the same debate. Do you want to win National Signing Day or on Saturdays? Because Big 12 schools that are in the Big 12 have way more success than Miami does.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, playoff appearances, made it to the national title game. You know, there's still something to... You can still say you got to go out there and play the games. That's, I mean, because it goes back to your, if we're only using power rankings, then we're only using talent ratings. And so the Big 12's proposition is as the scrappy underdog, as the overlooked and the under-recruited player who developed into a championship contender with the right combination of coaching and experience. Like, that becomes its role. And I don't think that we should disqualify the Big 12 as a power conference just because it's not pulling in the same amount of five stars as the SEC and the Big Ten.
I think that's probably fair because of the overall quality of the league. But when we talk about, you know, look, if the G5 is getting access to the playoff, the Big 12 will as well, you know. But, I mean, 16 of the top 20 coming from the SEC and Big Ten and the other four coming from the ACC and Notre Dame, it is interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll monitor.
We'll monitor whether Jeremiah Smith has gotten in officially. Still nothing.
Checking.
I mean, that would drama. Be it. That's drama. So let's say we're just placing bets right now. So you think ultimately he ends up with Ohio State? This just might be some drama.
I think ultimately Ohio State. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can have the same reaction that Ryan Day did on camera at his press conference. We will be back 11 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday for our next edition of Bonanza, breaking down all the games that get you on through the Christmas holiday. You can follow him on Twitter at Bud83. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Remember to stay tuned. 24/7 sports for all your recruiting needs. Great work today, Bud. Bud, thank you very much.
Jeff, enjoyed it.
Everyone is talking about if.
I'm going to go to limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting!
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.